Good to know that we are bound for the promised land, the land called heaven, land that flows with milk and honey, the land that shall never, ever perish. It is the land that God has called the promised land, the promised land. And we're thankful tonight that you're here making preparation for your journey to the promised land. You know, the profoundness with which the Bible speaks is unquestionable. And we know that the words of Jesus Christ are true and faithful. And some of the most profound words of all of the Bible are contained even in the book of Psalms. I want to talk to you tonight about these three things: my shield and my glory and the one who lifts my head. And I want to focus, if you will, your attention up here to Psalms chapter 3, verse 3 through 6. David said, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield about me, my glory, and the one who does lift my head. I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountain. I lay down and slept, and I awoke, for the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people who have set themselves against me round about." You know, that would be a prayer that Donald Trump should pray every night. God be my shield. And perhaps he does pray that, I don't know. Be my glory and be the one who lifts my head. It's not only a prayer that he should pray, it is a prayer that every one of us should be praying every day. It is true. In the book of Psalms chapter 3 and 3, David said, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield about me, again my glory, and the lifter up of my head." You know, there are a lot of things that are said about God. A lot of metaphors are used to describe God. A lot of metaphors are used to describe Jesus. He is the light of the world, John 8 and verse 12. "And he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." David said, "The Lord God is my protector." Jesus is the bread of life, John chapter 6. He is the way, the truth, and the light, Matthew chapter 6. And God is the provider, Jehovah Jireh, as they called him in the Old Testament. But God is a shield. He is. And he should be our glory, the focus of our glory. We shouldn't glory in ourselves, but we ought to glory in our God. And God will cause our head to be lifted up when we are bowed down with burdens and sorrows in life. He is the one who lifts us up. He is the one who strengthens us. And I'm going to tell you something. It's a wonderful thing tonight to know that God allows us to talk to him. He is just a prayer away, and God answers our prayers. Aren't you thankful tonight that we serve a God who responds to the petitions that we bring before his throne? I will say it again. God answers our prayers. Now, God answers prayers in three ways. Sometimes I hear people say several things about how he answers our prayers, but oftentimes he does it in the affirmative. He says yes, and he says because you deserve it, not because we've done anything of our own, but based upon the merit of Christ. You and I deserve it because Jesus died upon a cross and provided that avenue by which we can talk to God. And sometimes God says no to the request that we make of him because he is thinking in terms of something much, much better. That's how big our God really is. And sometimes God says not yet because the best is yet to come. God is not going to dangle something out in front of us that is not the best. You see, God deals in the best. He does in every way. And in Psalms 3, 4 again, "I will call out to the Lord, for he answers me from his holy mountain." But again, those three things are so important for us to learn tonight, that God is a shield. He should be our glory, and he will cause our head to be lifted up. You know, a lot of times in our lives, we find ourselves in the throes of depression. It could be something external that's going on, or it could be something within our body itself. Maybe there's maybe a particular chemical that is not being produced to keep us in balance here. But sometimes it's the events of life that happen that make us overwhelmingly depressed about life. And Job, in Job 22 and 29, when men are cast down, then thou shalt say, there is a lifting up. You know what? I say that to everybody I know when I feel that they're under a lot of pressure or they are burdened down in life. I say to them, listen, there is a lifting up for the people of God. Don't we sing that old song when we talk about, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. And the chorus says, Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith in heaven's promised land, a higher plane to the higher place where God is. God does allow us to talk to him, and I try to talk to him. And as I said, he answers us in various ways. But you know what? Isn't it wonderful to know that we can be at peace with God? We have no fear because God takes care of us. You know, the Bible says that God knows even when a sparrow falls to the earth. So we don't have to be so fearful in life. We're fearful of a lot of things. People are constantly fearful maybe of bad health. They're fearful financially. Maybe they won't have enough money to make it when they get to the all close to the end of the journey. And sometimes people worry about battles and skirmishes that are going on around the world. But in Isaiah, the 43rd chapter and verse 1, the prophet said, fear not, for I have redeemed you, speaks for God and says, I have called you by name, and you're mine. You know, it's hard for us to remember everybody's name. Y'all have problems with that, being able to remember everybody's name? I just got to where I call the women sweetheart and honey because I forgot their name 10 years ago. And I just, everybody that I don't know, the guys that I don't know, I just call them Bubba. Hey, Bubba. I don't know what y'all are laughing at. I've seen you do the same thing. Fear not, for I have redeemed you and I've called you by name. God doesn't call us by numbers, but he calls us by our name. Jesus said in the 15th chapter of the book of John, I know my sheep and my sheep know me and I know my sheep by name. Let me talk to you first of all about the shield. In Deuteronomy 33 and 29, blessed are you, O Israel, who is like you? A people saved by the Lord, who is the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty, so your enemies shall cringe before you and you shall tread upon their high places. The shield of help. Psalms 119 and verse 114 actually prompted the writing of a song that we sing in our hymnal. It's called As the Deer. And one of the verses in that song simply says, you are my refuge and my shield. Your word is my source of hope. You know, the shield was an important part of armor in the Old Testament and certainly in the New, spiritually speaking. The shield was carried in the left hand. And the shield was carried to protect the most vulnerable places in your body, your heart, your lungs. And the sword was carried in the right hand. And so the shield became very, very important. And the Bible talks about our shield of faith. It is our faith. I carry my shield with me every day. And sometimes when people say things and they take God's name in vain, you know what? The shield has become my defensive weapon. In 2 Samuel 22 and verse 3, the man of God said, "My God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, thou dost save me from violence." Again, that song says, "You alone are my strength and my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield." Psalms 28 and verse 7 also echoes another thought. "The Lord is my strength and my shield, my heart." Listen to this. Trust in Him. It's not enough to say God is your shield, your glory, and the one who lifts your head. But we have to trust in God. Psalms 3 and verse 6. "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path." Notice what He says, "And I am helped, therefore my heart exults, and with my song I shall thank Him." And then again in Psalms 33:20, "Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield." So often you'll see that little phrase, "God is our shield," over and over and over. And you know what? Even in the midst of life, when we think things are going well, God sends us the storms to prove that He is the only shelter in life. Money doesn't shelter you from problems. I'm going to tell you something. There are plenty of people tonight that have all kinds of money but have all kinds of problems. Listen, good health doesn't shelter you from the problems of life. They will be there. Just coming to worship doesn't shelter you from the problems and the storms of life. But Christ is our shelter. Do you know one of the most powerful passages in all the Bible has to be Isaiah 54 and verse 17. It says, and I read, "No weapon formed against you will prosper." You know what? Sometimes we think they prosper, and sometimes they think when they form that weapon against us that they will prosper, but they will not. You know what? I still believe tomorrow is Memorial Day, and we've talked about that this morning, but I'm going to tell you something. I think there's still more decent people in the United States of America than there are corrupt people who believe that we don't need a wall down the border. I think there are more people in the United States that believe that a baby is a baby in the womb. I heard one of those political candidates say yesterday, "Well, you know, they're saying that we can take a baby from the womb and kill it. We don't kill a baby that has come from the womb." And I thought to myself, no, but you'll kill a baby in the womb, which is just as wrong and horrendous in the eyes of God. And I hope to God that we'll have enough Supreme Court judges that will stand up and stand up for what is right. In the book of Genesis 15 and verse 1, Moses recorded these words many years ago. "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram, later known as Abraham, in a vision saying, 'Do not fear, Abraham, for I am your shield. I'm a shield to you, and your reward will be great.'" And we know it was. And when Paul began to write and to declare unto the Ephesian brethren about that armor of God that we spoke about this morning in Ephesians 6 and verse 16, in addition to taking up that shield of faith, there's that word again, "with which you will be able to extinguish all the fiery missiles of the evil one." King James Version says darts. But the shield of God is our protection. He is one who protects us, and He does it every day. And like David, who wrote during this dismal or difficult time in life, we find ourselves in difficult times. But you believe it or not, now this is a horrible thing, isn't it? But David's son, Absalom, was trying to kill him. Now, wouldn't that be a horrendous thing if your son was trying to kill you? But Absalom sought for the death of his own father. And David's enemies were hunting him down just like you'd hunt an animal. And they wanted to kill him and get him out of the way. And David had nowhere to go except to God. And he had a faith in God that protected him. And we must allow God's shield of love to be around us every day. You know what? The world doesn't understand that. I know they don't. But I'm going to tell you something. I believe there is a shield around me. I feel the shield of God every day around me. But David mentioned something else. And that's the glory. He says, "You're my shield and you're my glory." In other words, I will take glory in you, not in myself. Several things are mentioned in the scripture about being in glory. The woman's hair is a glory to her. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 15. Glory is used in the scripture as a form of boasting in reality. Sometimes the people were really chastised for promoting their own glory and not the glory of God. I look back at the days of Nebuchadnezzar, the king, and how God brought him to his knees because he gloried in himself. And I think about King Herod, whose body was destroyed by worms. We ought to pray every day. Dear God, thank you for another beautiful and blessed day to simply say, "How great thou art." 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and 31 says that whatever you do in word or deed, do all. Listen to it. To the glory of God. Glory be to God our Father who is in heaven. And in your actions, let me ask you a question tonight. Shouldn't we ask ourselves that same question? Is what I'm about to do bring glory and honor unto my God, and glory and honor unto Him? I see even preachers sometimes that want people to glory in Him because of His achievements and because of what He has done. Listen, you're just an instrument of God. You are. All glory belongs to God. In the book of Revelation, chapter 11, and verse 19, the Bible says, "And the temple of God was opened in heaven. And there was seen in the temple the ark of the testament, and there were lightnings, and voices, and thunderings, and an earthquake, and a great hail." No wonder the Bible says in the book of Psalms 19, and verse 1, that the heavens declare the glory of God. Isn't that what John is saying here in chapter 11? That the heaven declares the glory of God and the earth showeth forth His handiwork. The works of God's hands. For those of us who qualify, we know just how proud we are of our grandchildren. They are our glory, are they not? And perhaps a trophy or belt buckle or maybe something that you've earned or won and you're real proud of it. And that item is your glory. People glory in their wealth sometimes. They glory in their position. They glory in their power. The Bible says that your spouse is to be your glory too. Did you realize that? I just wanted to remind my wife that. Proverbs chapter 31. But then he mentioned something else. And he said, "He is the one who lifts my head." Listen, He's my shield, He's my glory, and He is the one who lifts up my head when I'm down. Do we get down? Obviously we do. We all get down at times. But God is the one who lifts us. In Job 10 and verse 15, that you know that Job would not so much as even lift his head, but he didn't lift his head out of disgrace, but also out of a feeling of unworthiness. Sometimes we feel that way, do we not? Think about the publican and the Pharisee who went up to the temple to pray. And the Bible says that, listen, the publican would not so much as even lift his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Luke 18 and verse 13. We know that God listens to our prayers, for the book of James 5:16 says, the prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective. King James Version says they avail much. You know, we use that little expression a lot, don't we, up here? Keep your chin up. That's just tantamount saying you don't have to be down and depressed. When you figure that God really is your shield every day and that you glorify Him, we must realize that we're pleasing to God and that God will protect us and provide for us. We have to leave the past behind us, focus on the future, lift our eyes toward heaven. And someone gave these. I thought they were so good. 8 rules to a better life. Never hate. Don't worry. Live simply. Expect a little. Give a lot. Always smile. Live with love. And best of all, be with God. Folks, I'm going to tell you that. Listen, is a recipe for happiness. It is, isn't it? David knew that God would restore his dignity and remove his sorrow and his disgrace. Oppression and humiliation will cause one's head to be bowed low. Genesis chapter 40 and verse 13. And when the Lord lifts up a man's head or a woman's head, God restores their dignity, as David called it, glory. I think of Psalms 121. I've read it at memorial services many, many times, but it's so true. I will lift up my eyes to the hills or the mountains. And where does my help come from? Why, my help comes from the Lord, that who is the maker of the heavens and the earth. You know what? Jesus died on the cross. This is what he did for all mankind. Through the sacrifice of his beloved son, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10, God made a way and an avenue for us to accept his shielding and his glory and a lifting up that is second to none. Men today may not be pursued by enemies in the same way as David was, but I can tell you they pursue. For 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says that Satan is an enemy. He is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And sin will bring oppression, shame, and disgrace, and it will cause you to lose your dignity. And that's why we need to turn back to God. Just as David in his trouble was able to cry out to the Lord, men should do the same today. For Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, men need to realize that without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then in James 4 verse 7 he says, submit yourselves unto God. Very few people do that today. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. I've told you many times, what we do is flee from the devil and then we leave a forwarding address. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you in obedient faith. Why, the Christian will do what the Lord says to do. This is a manner in which people cry out to God and call upon the Lord. In Acts 22, when Saul of Tarsus had been praying and fasting for 3 days, blinded, Ananias said, and now, Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sin. Notice sin comes to the point of removal when we are baptized into Christ. Isn't that what he said? Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Sin can't be washed away before you're baptized, according to what he says here. And Jesus taught, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. Let me ask you a question tonight. Do you have enough faith to consider God as your shield? Do you? Are you proud enough to claim God as the glorious way in which you walk every day? And do you give God and Jesus the glory that they deserve? And it doesn't mean, you know, some people walk around all the time and say, glory to God, glory to God. Praise God. Glory to God. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the way you live your life. Are you walking about in shame? Or can you bring yourself to lift up your head before our God in a spirit of humility? If you do, he has a plan for your life. He does. I'd rather offend, people ask me this all the time, don't you think that sometimes your sermons are a little offensive? You know what? I'd rather offend someone into heaven than to flatter someone into hell. It's so important that we understand that God is the one who lifts us. And you know what? If you're not a Christian tonight, God is ready to lift you up if you'll make him your shield and you give glory to him. And we're going to sing a song of encouragement. David has selected that, and maybe tonight, even as a child of God, as a Christian, maybe you're weak, maybe you haven't really been trusting in God as much as you have. And maybe things are happening in your life you don't understand. You're overwhelmed with it. And I'm going to tell you something. God is there to give us strength. And listen, one of the great blessings we have is being able to pray for one another, to bring our petitions before God in a public setting and doing it congregationally. God answers prayer. I hope you'll let him answer yours tonight while we stand and while we sing.